I've been doing this for a long time, and yet I still get so nervous, which reminds me that it's not about me. It's about what God has placed on our heart. It's about what God is speaking to us individually. We can all be sitting here in the same room and receive so many different ways, receive in a personal manner. We're going to talk a little bit more about personal life, but will you please go with me in prayer? Father God, we boldly come to your throne room. And the reason we boldly come to your throne room, Lord, is because you said, come. Come boldly. So we are here. We are here with a fierce boldness that crave you, that want more of you, that want to know about a relationship with you and what all of this actually means. When it comes down to it, Lord, what does this mean? What does your word mean? What does the Bible mean? What does it mean, and how does it hit our life in our everyday walk? We thank you for showing that to us. We praise you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh my gosh, she's the cutest little girl in the world. Oh my gosh, she's so cute. Please don't stop talking, okay? So my sisters, Kay and Karina, have been preaching on kindness. And so it's a bit of a series. I haven't been able to be here the last two Sundays. So actually, I have no idea of their message. There might be some things repeated. There will be some new things. But the most wonderful thing about it is that God stitches it all together. It doesn't matter if I've been able to find 2 seconds to listen to their message or to say, Lord, I need you to stitch this message together because it's all about you. There are things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me the most. Are there a lot of passages in the Bible? It's not the passages I don't understand, because I know God is going to give me a revelation in a personal way and a personal time. The passages that bother me, the passages that just pierce my heart, the passages that give me reason to do a self-inventory of how do I measure up to the standard that God is presenting in the Bible, are words like kindness and goodness. We inherently already know what they are. If you see somebody drop something, you walk over and you pick it up, right? That's kind. If you know somebody needs something and you have the provisions to give it, it's kind to go and give. It's kind to give our time. It's good to give the gifts and talents we have. It's good to give them. Hey, these are the passages that I get. I understand. Does it mean I always do them? No. No, it doesn't. Does that make me human? Yes. Yes, it does. Kindness and goodness go hand in hand. And when kindness and goodness go hand in hand, it's things that we were born with. I saw this picture on Facebook the other day. This mom that didn't know the mom in back of her, and they were in line, standing in line for something. And on the bottom of it, it said, these little two girls are holding hands. She's holding a little girl this way. And the gal is facing, and her baby's facing this way. She was probably about 2. And the other lady's directly behind her, and she's kind of like this. And the little girls, they're kind of standing close, but this one's staring off this way, and the one behind her's kind of staring off this way, and they both did not look like happy mamas whatsoever. But the little girls are holding hands. They're two. That little sweet baby back there, if you drop something, I guarantee you she's going to come and pick it up and give it to you, because that's the way we were born. We were already born that way. And then we start to see the world. And when we start to see the world, we start to see the world in a selfish and indulgent way. And in that selfish and indulgent way, we start to kind of go away from kindness and goodness. Now, I know I have a strong testimony about God's love, because there are times I have walked away from kindness and goodness, but God did not walk away from me. The promises of Jesus Christ did not adherently fall because I chose something different. And the Holy Spirit didn't say, Jay, I am so mad at you. Look, my back is to you now. That is not what happened. God stayed steadfast. Jesus Christ stayed steadfast. The Holy Spirit stayed steadfast in the kindness and goodness that they have already brought and represented. These are not difficult words to understand. Kindness is the inner compassion which listens to and cares about others, while goodness is the generous activity that demonstrates the kind person's tender heart. Where did we receive an understanding of this? From the maker of our hearts. We see our heart as this. Okay, so we just had Valentine's Day. And how many people went into a store and saw all these uniform hearts with chocolates and heart balloons and heart cards and heart this and heart that and whatnot like that, all squishy, lovey, goofy stuff. Not just about a romantic, but about best friend, family, sister, kids, everything. In our family, we represent Valentine's Day as love, okay? But our hearts are all squishy. And when we think about it, we think about, ooh, falling in love. Or we think about a broken heart. Or we think about just love in general. And for love, it always seems to be the L and then the O, always, a lot of times, not always, is in this shape of a heart and then the V and the E. When we get down to it, it's pretty and it's squishy in love. But is that really what God meant by that? From the maker of our hearts, he made our hearts. We see our hearts as this tender, squishy place that is about Valentine's Day and so many other things. A mushy, fallen in love or love with such fierce admiration, including other renditions of different images. Here are some facts about our heart. Why am I talking about goodness in our heart? Hang on, we'll get there. The average adult heart beats 72 times a minute, 100,000 times a day, 3,600,000 times a year, and 2.5 billion times during a lifetime. Though weighing only 11 ounces on average, a healthy heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels each day. A kitchen faucet would need to be turned on all the way for at least 45 years to equal the amount of blood pumped by the heart in an average lifetime. Every day, the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles. In a lifetime, that is equivalent to driving to the moon and back. Okay, when I read that, I was like, wow, wow. That is the power of our heart. Who is the creator of our heart? That is the power that God has given us with just this. That's the power of God's heart. Every day, the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles. Let that sit in and think about it. Enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles. In a lifetime, that is equivalent to driving to the moon and back. Now, some people, maybe me, creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles going 200 miles an hour. That might be me. Kay's shaking her head yes. Michael's pointing to his husband and saying, oh yeah. At the heart of God is his goodness. We are going to open up our promises in the Bible today to find out more of the goodness that is promised through God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Psalms 107, 8, and 9. And I chose to do this in the message, that version, for the simple fact that I just love the way that it just, I believe that it really represents how God is, how he would explain it to me. We're all different. Karina hears things different than I do in a different way. When Karina hears in, I love my sister Karina very much. I'll tell you the reason I'm getting emotional is when Karina hears, we're going to start at 10, she's there at 9:15, sometimes 9:30. I'm created very different. When I hear we're going to start at 10, I actually get up at 7 and do my very, very best to get out of the house to be there by 9:15, 9:30, and I walk in at 10 to 10. It's not something I do on purpose. It's not something I do to aggravate or hurt anybody. It's not that at all. Okay? That's what I love about Karina and I. One of the things, many, many things, but the fact is that her kindness when she says, "You're doing the best you can. I'm glad you're here. I love you." Not so many words, not those words exactly, but the fact that she says in her goodness and kindness, "You're doing the best you can. You're here. That's what I need." There's a big difference. And we're going to talk about the personality of God, where we all have different personalities, and that's who Jesus wants a relationship with, is the personality and the gift you are. Thank you for giving me a side note. Psalms 107, 8 through 9 in the Message. "Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. Then in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out of the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a place to live. So thank God for his marvelous love, for his miracle mercy to the children he loves. He poured great droughts of water down parched throats. The starved and hungry got plenty to eat." That, in a nutshell, is the goodness of God. A journey through life can be like a journey through a wandering desert. In the desert is an effective image to convey what we feel when we feel lost, abandoned, confronted with overwhelming vastness, or cast away. Anybody ever been in a desert, metaphorically and physically? I'll raise my hand. Are you kidding? Parts of my life are still in a desert. They absolutely are. Thank you, Richard. You're right. But look at all the green we have. So there's life in our desert that we live in Utah. But ever been in a desert? Ever been wondering what to do? Ever been in a place where I don't have a job, or I'm not happy in the job I have, or, wow, I have no finances. I have no place to live. I feel so lonely that I'm in a crowd of people and still feel alone. I went through a divorce. I went through a bad breakup. I didn't get the job I wanted. What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Where am I supposed to be at? I don't know how to be a parent. How am I supposed to be the best parent? Am I going to mess up? Did I mess up? Did I say the right words? What did they think? What do they think about me? What if they don't like me? So many things. I can go on and on and on and on and on. We've all been in a desert area. We've all been in a desert that's desperation in life. We've all been to a place that hurts and it doesn't feel like we're ever going to get out. I adopted a new phrase a couple of years ago, that the place I am right now is not going to be the place I am at in a year. The place I'm at right now is not going to be the place I'm at in 6 months. I have had some trials and tribulations. I've had them, and I keep having them. Why? Is it anything that God is doing to punish me? No. No. God is not looking down as I look up with a big 2x4. But that's the image people have. People have this image of God that his goodness is only if we earn it. Only if we can do the very best. And when we mess up, my dad had this saying all the time. "I trust you, and my trust goes up 2 rungs of a ladder. And then what do? You come and destroy my trust, and I throw you all the way back down." My dad told me that all growing up. He used the words, "I'll throw you right back down." What kind of trust do you have in your parental, if you keep hearing things of that nature? Trust to me was, if I didn't earn his good graces, if I did not earn the things that my dad thought and deemed that were perfect and right, then I was a lousy child. I'm lousy. I'm a no good for nothing kid, and he hates me. And he would tell me things, my father figure would tell me things of the nature, "I love you because I have to, but I don't like you." And I would hear, "Sorry is not good enough, because if you were truly sorry, then you would never do it again." Now, this isn't funny when it happened, but he had said that to me so many times that 17 years old, and he is a very, very big man, and he has a lot of muscles in his hands. He's been a welder for over 35, 40 years of his life. He's now retired. But He had these huge, huge, strong, strong hands. And most of the time, I'm very afraid of him. I am no longer. But I said to him one day, and we are not a family that was religious or went to church or anything. My dad did not believe in God. I said to him, I turned and I said, if I was perfect, my name would be Jesus Christ. Oh, I knew it was coming too. And that sting on my face, whoo, and upside my head, I knew that it was coming. But the weird thing is I didn't even feel it because I had had that boiling in me for so long to be able to just say something back, to just say, I had heard so many times, if you were truly sorry, you would never do it again. And I would think to myself, I didn't know much about God or Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about the goodness. I didn't know about the promises. I didn't know about anything. The only thing I knew was from my grandmother, his mom. And that's the only thing I knew is that Jesus Christ was perfect for the longest time. And when I said that, it just felt like years had built up. And it felt so good to say it to him. But I don't recommend that you do that. Goodness, goodness, goodness. There will be in your life moments of intense thirst and an uncertainty where whether you will make it through the day. And I have had those. I have had those uncertainties of, am I going to make it through this day? I can't take one more thing, God. I can't. The light of your life's goodness may feel as if the darkness of life is overshadowed and there is no hope. Psalm 107 points to the promise. A side note that when I was preparing this message, I just kept thinking about all my desert times, and I kept thinking about just how God would rescue me and rescue me and rescue me, and that the goodness of him, that he would just never leave me there. He would never leave me in that desert place. And sometimes that desert place was a very long time. And there were times I would question, where are you, God? Something that obviously the Holy Spirit just popped in was in a critical stage of Jesus' spiritual development, happened after he was baptized and retreated to the desert where he faced and overcame temptations. Jesus has been through that desert. Jesus has been through that desert. Let me say it again. Jesus has been through that desert. So when we're feeling like we're alone and abandoned, and we're wondering where the goodness of God is, where are these promises? That it's easy to sit in church or sit in your life or walk through your life when everything's going great and everything's going good and everything's wonderful. And somebody says, how are you doing? And you can actually say, I am great. Everything is falling into place. I have a great job. I have a great family. I have a great life. That's not a desert, is it? That's an oasis. That's a place we're feeling really good, feeling really great about. Yeah, I got some minor problems over here, but nothing I can't handle. Nothing I can't handle. So in my understanding of people when they ask me to pray, and honestly, as I have grown and matured in my walk with God, in my relationship with God, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, nothing I can't handle. Why is it that God's promises say you and I can do it all together? But then when we're doing good, when we're walking in what we deem as the best, why is it that it's I can handle? But the first moment that you have your check garnished, oh, Jesus, oh, God, help me, help me. But last week you said, oh, I got a little few things over here I can handle. God in his goodness is not a parachute. God in his goodness isn't something we run to as soon as we don't feel like we can handle something. God in his goodness is not something that is just sits up on a shelf and we take down when we need it. That's not God's goodness. God's goodness is a relationship that we walk with, that we talk with all through. If I don't have a relationship with somebody, the only way I'm going to is if I get to know them and they get to know me. That's it. If you don't check in, occasionally I'll send Kay a text, checking in. Then it's followed by a text about that long. True. Kay usually gets me on Thursdays and says, Happy Thankful Thursday. I love that. Are we checking in with God? Are we walking through a desert? Because I can handle it. Where's the goodness of God in your life? Where's the goodness of Christ in your life? Where's the goodness of the Holy Spirit in your life? I was asked about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, JD, you're a minister. Yes, actually, we all are ministers. No, I mean, you've got a relationship there. No, yeah, we all can and do, should. Ah, JD, can I just ask my question? Like, yeah, hey, tell me what the difference is. Like when you talk about God and you talk about Jesus Christ and you talk about the Holy Spirit. So the first analogy I gave was an egg. There's the hard shell of an egg. There's the white of the egg. And there's the yolk. All one egg, right? Three different personalities, entities, but all still one egg. My kids. There's my son. There's my daughter. There's me. We have the same last name. Three different individuals, three different ice, snow, water. Still falls under H2O. So this gal goes on to ask me, well, why? Why would God do that? The Holy Spirit meets me at a different place. Jesus Christ is my Savior, but without my Savior, I wouldn't know the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't know God, because God is the one who orchestrated the relationship for Jesus to come, for the Holy Spirit to be able to speak, for everything to go forward. First God and His goodness, then Jesus Christ and the goodness, and the Holy Spirit and the goodness. And the reason I say all three, and I've been really trying to say not just God, because there's three. And we need to know them three individually. And they know us. They know me. The goodness of God, the goodness of Jesus, the goodness of the Holy Spirit. Psalms 145:9. The Lord is good to everyone. He shows compassion on all his creation. I wanted to break that down a little bit. What's all? The whole, the all, the any. I had this friend once tell me, God doesn't love me. And I will tell you honestly, in my mind, I thought these very words, that I did not say them. And I'm very proud of me for not saying them out loud, Barry. You so special. God is the only, you're the only one God don't love. Whoo, shoo-wee. That is what I thought in my head. I shall tell you. I thought that. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. Really, you're that special that you're the only one on the whole entire earth that God does not care about, that God does not love. Can you even imagine? I mean, the power in that sentence, although I had wonderful to stop myself from saying it. That was a good filter that day, or that moment. Thank you, Kay. I appreciate that. But honestly, think about it. Think about that. God doesn't care about me. God won't heal me. God won't do that for me. God will do it for you. You talk to God all the time. You have this different relationship with God. No, I don't. If you mean by different that I depend on God for everything, okay. If you mean by different that God and I have conversations about everything, and I mean everything, okay. If you mean by different that I believe, because God promised me, that I could do everything that every disciple and everything else that was done in the Bible, because God said, now I give you these gifts and more. If you mean that by different, then okay. God's goodness is not a representation of his favorite. We are his favorite. God's goodness and God's love and God's kindness and his forgiveness is not a representation of you worked harder. You did better. You're pretty. No. When we get to John 3:16, we'll go back over for who it's for. But as of right now, it says all. All means all. The whole, the all, the any, the every. He has made. It's an activity and product of property. God made you. That's why he sent his son to die for you, because he made you and he wants a relationship with you. It is all about personal relationship. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his unique son so that everyone who believes in him might not be lost but have eternal life. We still have a decision. It is your decision. It is your absolute decision to either have a relationship with God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, or not. Because God is a gentleman. Free will. We don't talk a lot about that. We don't. We don't talk about the free will. We talk about the love. Why? Why do we talk about the love? Why do we talk about the joy and the forgiveness and the peace and the grace and the mercy? We don't talk about the free will because I actually don't a lot. Because I can't imagine not choosing God. I can't imagine not having a stable rock, a petrol rock that I can stand on. I look at people and I'm like, how do people do it without God? I couldn't do that. There's no way that I wouldn't have a hope. My daughter and I went to a conference yesterday with her high school. And I'm sitting in a room full of junior high and high school kids at Provo High. And I, so many times I cried. My daughter is on a thing called the Hope Squad. And the Hope Squad gives hope to all of the kids that go to that school for whatever reason that they need it. Mostly it's talked about suicide. And I saw so many representations in junior high and high school teenagers that are LGBT plus. We were talking and the instructor said, I want to hear some hope moments. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to talk to Pastor about this. And on our cards, writing hope moments. But these are teenagers. And yeah, some of them were like, so the other day, I went, and I'm like, oh my gosh, please just get to your point. Which is funny for me to say. It's hysterical for me to say. But in these hope moments, they told you their hope moment. How, so one boy said, I got a text from a boy like months later down the road, and he said, thank you for saying hello to me the day that I wanted to take my life. It made me reevaluate. Well, these are kids. Another hope moment was with a classmate of my daughter's, and he stood up and said, my hope moment was I befriended somebody who didn't think that they had any friends because he turned and said, but I'm trans. And my daughter's friend said, so? I love that attitude. Like, okay, now if I would have said I'm trans when I was their age, it would have been a freak show. It was already a freak show for people to say, are you gay? Hey, I'm 51. You know, I mean, look how far we've come. But now, this Hope Squad was started in Provo, Utah by a principal at Provo High. And it is now all around the world and growing quickly. And these kids are trained and equipped to be able to be hope. Well, what if our relationship with God was just based on what we did, on how we earned it? And that's not what John 3:16 says. As I just read it, I want to read it again. And there's a reason I chose this certain passage for in the ISV. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his unique son. I love that it says unique. Because there is no other. There is just one Jesus. There is one that gave his life. So that everyone who believes in him might not be lost but have eternal life. He gave the all, the whole. It's personal. It's personal. This is where it all comes back down to, is John 3:16, that he personally knows you, and he personally knows everywhere you've been, everything you've done, and still says, This the Bible has stood the test of time. You want to talk about goodness? The test of time. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, and how you've done it. What matters is that God's goodness and his love stands the test of time to say, here I am. Here I am. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. It's to claim personally what has been secured in him as a member of the race for whom Christ died for. How many different races do we have in this room? How many different races do you have in where you work? I have many. Many. But there's just one race in God. His kids. That's it. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. He created us different because it'd be boring if he had the same kid. Think about it. It would be so boring if he had the same kid. Bop, 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 bop. What does Satan try to make us? All into one. That's a different time and a different story. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the phrase to be in Christ evidently means to be united to Christ by faith, or to be in him as a branch in the vine. Hey, so has anybody ever seen a vineyard, grapes, fruit trees? All right, so you have your tree and you have your branches. And if you splice, because my uncle owned a small vineyard, if you splice a different type of grape and you splice the vine so it's in a V, so it ends up being like this, that is how you produce different grapes or different fruits. That's how we got a tangelo. It's a tangerine and an orange combined as a tangelo. That is being grafted into a vine. So the first time somebody ever said anything like that, the visual really helped me. Okay, so there is God, and he has planted Jesus Christ. Right? He is the vine, we are the branches, correct? Yes. Hey, how do we become a part? How are we all in one? We are grafted into that. But the meticulous nature and way that has to be done, it's not you just cut and then you cut this branch and you cut the branch that's connected to this vine and go like, no, 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 no. My Uncle Joe would spend hours grafting those vines and then tenderly caring for them, wrapping them with such tender care. And he would go out and he would take a towel, a certain kind of towel, and he would moisten it a certain way. And he would just be so gentle, and he would bring this. And a month later, it's flourishing. And you can't even tell where it was grafted 3 months later. You can't even tell where the grafting was. You can't, because of the way my uncle is a gardener, the way he took care of his vine. If my uncle takes care of his vines in that nature, how much more does God take care of us? How much more does God tenderly and gently graft us in? John 15:2, every branch in me. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. If you cut a branch, it can no longer bear the fruit. If you cut an apple branch off, it can no longer produce the apple. It has no water, it has no soil, it has no life. It is going to wither and it's going to die. This is all the things in the view of the mind. The purpose of life, the feelings of the heart, the principles of action all become new. The understanding is consecrated to new objects. The body is employed in new service. The heart forms new attachments. Nothing can be more strikingly descriptive of the facts and conversion than this. Nothing more entirely accords with the feelings of the newborn soul. All is new. There are new views of God and of Jesus Christ. When you are grafted into that vine, your life becomes brand new. New views of the world. You see the world in a different way. New views of truth and of duty, and everything is seen in a new aspect with a new feeling, because it's new love. It's God's love. I'm going to end with 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard from him and to proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The goodness of God will remain. it will remain steadfast. It will always remain there. And again, like I said when we first started, was we have the choice to walk away, but God's love, Jesus Christ's dedication, and the Holy Spirit's perseverance will never, ever leave us, ever. There is that promise that the steadfast love will always, always be there. To leave someone in the dark purposely is unkind and hurtful. To give your all of the betterment of the goodness at your sacrifice of another is the goodness at the heart of Father God. God's goodness, God's love, God's kindness, His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy, all of the attributes of God are never going to be left up to if you earn it, if you feel it, if you think you're worthy. What is left is the promises that will always be. God's goodness will always be. The only way that you're going to know what God's goodness is if you say, I'm the goodness of God because He created me. Thank you, Father God, for this time. Thank you, Father God, for your word that is full of your promises. But Lord, they're just not words written on paper that seem to be there when we're in an emergency or when we're in a climatic place in life. Those words are for every nanosecond. Those promises are from the love, the enduring love that you have for us. We thank you, Father God, that you chose us. That John 3:16 gives us that promise, that poignant promise. We thank you, Father God, that you love us so much that you were willing to give every sacrifice of your heart in order to have that relationship, to show us the kindness, the goodness, to show us peace in the midst of a storm, to give us the answer that we're seeking and that we need. We thank you and we praise you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.